This is Ozarks at Large. I have a travel tip for you. If asked to go to one of Arkansas's state parks or top tourist attractions with a woman named Carrie McCright, don't do it. It seems that trouble follows her. Arson, kidnapping, murder. Reading about Carrie, though, is highly recommended. Carrie McCright is a former big city woman who moved to the Arkansas Ozarks some time ago. Although she doesn't necessarily like to, she ends up investigating dark deeds done by others in the To Die For series of mysteries written by Raydeen Trees Naring. Raydeen lives in Gravette, and her books have developed a devoted following that reaches far beyond here. The latest book in the series, A Journey to Die For, begins with a ride along the excursion train route from Springdale to Van Buren. Earlier in her career, there have been investigations at the Ozark Folk Center, a cave along the Buffalo River in Hot Springs, and at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Raydeen Trees Naring is in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with me. Welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you.
Well, your character, Carrie McCright.
Yes.
She had a midlife change.
Yes.
In the first book, when she found herself widowed,
yes,
living in the city, and she moves to the Arkansas Ozarks.
Right. I find that women who are left alone mid or late life sometimes have to find themselves somewhat like teenagers do, because it's a whole big change, lot of different things. And Carrie's past life had been pretty much involved with other people in the sense that they made the decisions. And so she decided, after her husband was killed, by golly, if I'm ever going to be me, if I'm ever going to be an independent woman, I better prove it now. So, though her family and friends says, oh, maybe it's time to sell the house and move to an apartment, she didn't do that. She built a house on land she and her husband had bought in the Ozarks, saving it for retirement, and moved to Arkansas.
Is there at least a small little... a small little parallel here, because you didn't start seriously writing fiction till middle of your life?
Oh, more than middle, yes. That's quite true. And, yeah, probably there is. I've always loved reading mysteries, and so after I'd done nonfiction for a long time, including my book Dear Earth, and everything I wrote, except for one poem I sold, the Ozarks was featured. People, places, things, events. I just fell in love with the Ozarks from head to toe. So everything was set here. And after Dear Earth came out, I thought, I love reading mysteries. Wonder if I could write one. And that's how everything took off.
How do you, when you wonder if you can write a mystery, do you sit down at a keyboard or
yep,
take pen in hand?
Just nope, sit down at a keyboard.
And you just...
Well,
started.
Actually, back then, it wasn't exactly like that, because I had a word processor. Mm-hmm. It soon evolved into a real computer. But, yeah, I sit down at the keyboard and start. I'm not one who outlines any of my books thoroughly. I have some idea, of course, about where we are and what we're doing. But when I visit a place, say, Hot Springs National Park, I have to be there long enough to feel something of a story, to learn enough about the history, about the situation on the ground present day, to have the story start to grow, kind of churn around. Some places haven't done that. There's just no magic there. But in every book I have written, there was magic, and I wanted to share it.
Well, let me ask about setting your mysteries in real places, because, you know, Joan Hess certainly used Northwest Arkansas and Fayetteville.
Farberville.
And Magadie.
Magadie.
And Donald Harrington, you knew that Staymore.
Mm-hmm.
Was in Newton County, but it was still fictional. But you go to the real places.
Exactly.
Are there advantages to using a real place, and are there some restraints to using a real place?
Well, of course, the restraints would be that you don't want to dishonor the location. But I always love the location, so that is no problem. And my research assistants, if I may call them that, curators at national parks, various people who are in the know about the locations, are wonderful. They love being part of it. I have even been asked by more than one location, would I please do a story there? I don't acquiesce to that unless something really unfolds that is right, but... that's really good, because they love being part of the research. We all like to be able to talk about things we know something about. So I think that's one reason that the National Park Rangers, for example, love being part of the research. The downside, I guess, would be that you do have to be cautious. Like I said, you have to honor the place. And so far, that's not been a problem. I've always done that, and everybody is pleased. Another plus, which I didn't realize when I started this, is that all these places have gift shops or something like that. And, well, for example, the Crescent Hotel, where one of my novels is set, and that, of course, is the whole town of Eureka Springs is featured, but the Crescent is really the only privately owned place I've featured so far. They've sold hundreds of copies of Wedding to Die For. And that was a side effect I didn't expect, but, of course, it's lovely. I'm very grateful for that, that it worked out that way.
In the latest book, Journey to Die For. Now, no longer single.
Right.
Carrie McCrite has married.
Yes.
Carrie, who she had been very good friends with.
Yes.
And this begins in Springdale on... And it's that excursion train we see go through
very
the
real.
Ozarks. Yeah.
Very real, yes. And I had ridden on it back when with family members, children and all that, and got to thinking about it. Would have been wanted to enjoy something fairly close to home. This is closer than any of my books had been, other than Valley to Die For, which was set right on the location where the Nearings live right now. But other than that, this is the closest to home. But I love that ride. And as I investigated Van Buren, where a lot of the story takes place, there was a lot of history there, Civil War history, down to present day, a lot of possibilities. And it just kind of, there again, it started to bubble. And how better to get there than on the A&M excursion train? So I took two more trips on the excursion train. One just by my husband and I took the train to Van Buren and poked around and came back just like every tourist does. The other one, I was invited to go along because PBS was filming one of the great railway journeys on the excursion train, and so A&M invited me to come along for the ride and to have my book with me and all of that. So that was fun, too. So I've taken the train three times now.
When you're taking that train and you're thinking that this could be a setting, are you starting to pay attention to little details?
Oh, yeah. And take pictures. Mm-hmm. I have a huge photo album for every single book I've written, and that's a nice reference to have in my office. And I take some of what other people would not consider scenic. They think they were dumb pictures, but they are reminders, things that set off thoughts and sometimes action. So, yeah, I do pay a lot of attention to details and sometimes check back if I'm not real clear on something I want to include in the story.
You mentioned the Civil War. Van Buren has Civil War history. You incorporate that into
yes.
A Journey to Die For.
Yes, I do. The sunken steamboat, the Sarah Ann, is fiction, but it is not fiction that the Confederates sunk some of their own steamboats in the river during the Civil War to keep them out of Union hands. And also it is not fiction that Arkansas River was once called Steamboat Graveyard. The insurance rates on the Arkansas were one of the highest ones in the United States during the 1800s.
When you find something out like that, do you just rub your hands together? Steamboat Graveyard?
Mentally, yes.
Yeah.
I sure do. Yeah, it fits. It works. And the story just evolves. It grows. And I have as much fun writing my stories as I hope people will read in them, because I'm discovering things just like they will. What next? What if? You know, it's a wonderful thing to do that. Yeah, you can rub your hands mentally or really.
Is there a formula for you? Does something come first? Does the idea for the heinous crime that will be the catalyst for the story come first? Does the clue, because often a clue can be a song, or as in the case
exactly.
of Journey to Die For, it's buttons.
Yes.
What comes first, or does that always follow
location,
the same?
Location, always. Absolutely. And the plot and the crime grow out of the possibilities at the location. So that's always part one. Then the plot and the crime evolve from that. I would say that second, since my characters are obviously already developed, most all of them are, those two things come first, location and then the crime and the eventual resolution.
This is, I think, probably not the second sentence you ever wrote in the series, but it's the second sentence that I think ever appeared in the series. If I have my chronology right, A Valley to Die For was first.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, second sentence that ever appeared in one of your series books. The man still looked like he was trying to swallow a sour pickle whole. I love that line. You know exactly what his face is doing.
Yeah, I remember that quite well. And you do. You sit and you think. And it just comes.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's been great fun. I love talking about Carrie and her friends.